This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, first of all, let me wish you a very beautiful Eid al-Fitr. Eid Saeed, Eid Mubarak to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasting, your tilawat al-Qur'an, all your khairat and sadaqat that you did during this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the hardship that you had to face thanks to the coronavirus and thanks to the lockdowns and so on. Alhamdulillah, you did that and you did that with responsibility, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you specially for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve us all from this suffering. May Allah open up the doors of His of Jannah for us, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also for and ask Allah to reward all those who were sick during this time and to give them the reward of fasting without having fasted, because they used to fast when they were healthy. And this is one of the beauties of doing a good deed continuously, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person does a good deed continuously, then when that person cannot do that good deed for reasons beyond their control, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, and one of those reasons is sickness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that the reward for the good deed continues to be written in their account as if they have been doing it. So alhamdulillah, this is good news also for those who used to pray their salah, their jama'ah salah, their fard salah in the masjid, that inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been writing and has ordered the malaika to write the thawab for fard salah in the masjid for you, because you used to do it regularly and you would have continued to do it were it not for the responsibility of the lockdown. So when you did not do the fard salah in the masjid during the lockdown, alhamdulillah, you behaved responsibly and Allah rewarded you for that, and the reward for the fard salah was also written into your account, inshaAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who were ill during this month and they could not fast, and to give them the reward for the fasting. Of course, once you, as far as the fiqh of it is concerned, once you have recovered fully from the coronavirus and you are perfectly healthy, then you must make up those fasts, inshaAllah, as khada. But inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reward you for those fasts as if you had been fasting. For those who passed away during this month, bashara for them, inshaAllah. First of all, because they died during the month of Ramadan, so Jannah is assured, inshallah, for them as long as they died on Iman. And those who died because of the coronavirus with Iman, inshallah, they are counted as Shaheed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, ma'al usri yusra, with the difficulty comes the ease. The difficulty is for this life, the ease is for the next life. The difficulty is temporary, the ease is permanent, the ease is forever. And that is why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, for any difficulty that comes, any calamity that comes, any difficulty that comes, we actually should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because first of all, the difficulty is in this world, which means that no matter what it is limited. It is for a specific period of time. Whereas the ease is in the, and it's not a difficulty in the Akhirah, because if this same difficulty, if it came in the Akhirah, it would be forever. So here, the difficulty came in the dunya, alhamdulillah. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins because of the difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even a thorn does not prick the foot of a believer, that Allah forgives sins for him. So obviously, if somebody is sick and so on and so forth, their sins are being forgiven, that is tahura, they are being purified. Third thing is, This difficulty is a difficulty which is material, which is physical. It is not a difficulty which is spiritual. It is not a difficulty in your iman. Instead of being afflicted by a physical illness, if you had been afflicted by an illness of the soul, if you had been afflicted by shukuk, if you had been afflicted by doubts and so on and so forth, this could actually potentially lead you to getting out and leaving Islam, which would be an absolute calamity, because you know what that means as far as the afterlife, as far as the akhirah is concerned. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we get any difficulties. Obviously, we don't ask Allah for them. We thank them if we get them. And we say alhamdulillah, and we ask Allah to relieve those difficulties. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from those difficulties. My brothers and sisters, Eid al-Fitr, there are three bases. There are three reasons why we celebrate Eid al-Fitr. And today, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, let us keep these three things in mind. Let us think about them and let us keep these three things in mind. The first reason, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first basis of celebration. The first basis of celebration is as thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are celebrating, meaning that we are making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having blessed us with Ramadan and with the ability to take advantage of it in good health, right? Reflect on what Ramadan brought for us. If we didn't have good health, if we were sick during Ramadan, then we could not have taken advantage. We couldn't have fasted. We couldn't have prayed Taraweeh. We couldn't have read Quran and so on and so forth. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us good health, and because of that, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us good health, He gave us iman, and He gave us the tawfiq to take advantage of this beautiful month which came. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to continue to take advantage of all that we learnt and all that we gained in this month, and not to lose it. Second thing is, I would request you, in the same context of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect on what Ramadan brought for us. Ramadan brought for us fasting, the purpose of which was to increase our taqwa. So we need to ask ourselves, did my taqwa actually increase? I want you to, I remind myself and you, let us sit and reflect and actually consciously look at the metrics for this. If I say my taqwa increased, what is the basis of that? Was there something that I used to watch which I don't watch anymore because of taqwa? Was there something I used to eat that I do not eat anymore because of taqwa? Have I changed the means of my income, the means of my earning because of taqwa? Have I changed my behavior, the way I talk to people, the way I treat people and so on and so forth because of taqwa? What is it that I have done in my life which reflects the fact that I have now more taqwa than I had before the month of Ramadan began? And if I can't find that, then believe me, this month of Ramadan has been wasted. You had one month in which to develop our taqwa, and we wasted that. We did not do it. We just fasted. We just stayed hungry and thirsty. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, if you cannot control your tongue, then Allah has no need for your fasting. He said, Allah has no need for your hunger and thirst. So I hope that we are not in that situation. But it's good for us to measure that and check that and assure ourselves that we are not in that situation. So let us check and say, how has my taqwa increased in this beautiful month of Ramadan? Second thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased the reward of our deeds to 70x. So whatever deeds we did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplied that by 70. The deeds were multiplied by 70. The nafil deeds were given the same reward as the fard deed. So alhamdulillah, this is something that we enjoyed during this month, and I hope we took advantage of that by ensuring that we did every fard and that we increased the nawafil. We did not do or could not do etikaf in this in this month because of the lockdown, but those who used to continuously do i'tikaf, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written i'tikaf into your accounts because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I mentioned before. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, alhamdulillah, Laylatul Qadr. I hope we took advantage of that. And that Laylatul Qadr, the reward of that is khayrum min alfi shahr. The reward is more than, not equal to, more than continuous ibadah, continuous worship for 1,000 months. Now, people usually do a calculation and say, well, 1,000 months is 83 years or something. Allah didn't say 1,000 months. Allah said khayrum min alfi shahr. How much more? How much more than 1,000? More according to the grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, we got Laylatul Qadr. We asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this night and for the reward in this night. Alhamdulillah, this is the greatest mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we thank Allah. We ask Allah to enable us to continue to live our lives in a way which pleases Him, which was the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem. Ramadan al-Kareem came to teach us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above our nafs. Because in Ramadan, the lesson we learnt was something which was halal, also we stopped ourselves from it because this was the order of Allah. Therefore, what more must we do with something which is not halal? We express our thankfulness by increasing our ita'at and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and living by the blessed sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sign of this is the Eid Salah, which is the symbol of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in worship but in our entire lives. Salah is the symbol of Islam. Without Salah, there is no Islam. So beware of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of celebration of Eid. We ask Allah, we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Second thing is, the second basis on which we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we celebrate Eid is that of charity. Now we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us material wealth and He gave us the tawfiq to share it with those for whom we hold it in trust. I remind myself and you that the wealth that Allah gave us is not an absolute possession of ours to use as we wish, where we wish, in whichever way we wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this to us in trust, to be used in accordance with His will, to be used in accordance with His orders. And that is what makes it halal for us to use on ourselves. So those of us who use this wealth, who use your wealth in order to help people, and of course there was a lot of opportunity this month, thanks to this coronavirus and the lockdown and so on, there was a lot of opportunity to feed people who didn't have food, to feed the sudden increase in homeless people and to help those who are in need. Alhamdulillah, all power to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace. So, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to be those who gave charity for us to have the upper hand and not the lower hand. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Also, this was something which enabled us to cleanse our wealth and to cool the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to spread goodness all around us. The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cooled and lessened by two things. One is istighfar and the second one is charity. And istighfar and charity are related. There is a famous story of a man who came into Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. And he said, "Oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me." Said an Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was sitting there. He called the man and he said, what kind of dua is this? And what kind of, calling out to Allah for forgiveness? He said, "This is not how we seek forgiveness." He said, "We seek forgiveness by, first of all, making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying saying specifically what it is that you are making istighfar for. Oh Allah, forgive me for the fact that I did not used to pray on time. Forgive me for the fact that I used to lie and cheat. Forgive me for the fact that I used to slander people and I used to backbite. Whatever it was you used to do, he said, first and foremost, make istighfar for it, which means hate it in your heart. It is something that is despicable. It is something which is horrible, that you find it disgusting. So be contrite, be apologetic about that in your heart and ask Allah to forgive you, number one. He said, second thing is that wherever that thing which you are seeking forgiveness for, where it is, it was something you did that impacted somebody else badly, he said, go and ask forgiveness from that person, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will not forgive until the slave forgives. So therefore, go and seek forgiveness from that person. And third thing, he said, give some charity and then come and make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the fourth thing goes without saying, which is that you do not repeat that action, because it makes no sense that you seek forgiveness for something and then you are back again in the same mess. So this is the way of seeking of forgiveness. So therefore, charity and istighfar are connected. And these are the two things which cool the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity of doing that. And those who took advantage of that, all power to you, alhamdulillah. And thereby, we fulfill the purpose of our creation, because we were created for the benefit of all mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." Third thing that we seek, that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, which is the basis of our celebration of Eid, is forgiveness. Eid is a time for joining of hearts. It is for meeting those we have not met for a long time. It is the time of healing wounds. The way to do that is to forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated that in Fatah Makkah, where he forgave his worst enemies who had caused him material loss, who had tortured him, they had caused him mental torture, character assassinated him, and all of this only because he invited them towards Islam, he invited them towards goodness, yet he forgave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So what should a Muslim be? But what are we today? Let us ask this question and let us make sure that we change our ways. Islam, my brothers and sisters, is the name of the brotherhood of faith. It is the brotherhood of humanity. The Muslim is the brother of every other Muslim and the brother of every other human being. And we can do that only if we learn to look at the good in people and forgive the bad. Anytime you see that some good in somebody, say, oh subhanallah, this person has this good. I don't know whether I have this in me or not. I don't know. He is showing his goodness to me. I do not know whether I am showing my goodness to other people. I'm not saying show off. I mean, are people experiencing me and experiencing goodness from me or not is something that I need to check all the time. And if I see something bad in somebody, then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgive that badness, because you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, well, more than likely I have the same thing in me, but alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden it, so this is not visible to the people. May Allah forgive this person, I forgive this person, and I will ignore that. Never try to find fault with people. Even more, never make those faults public. Never talk about that. Even if you see somebody's weakness, if you see somebody's fault, leave it, leave them alone, right? Leave them alone. Do not try to show up that fault, because we have the same things. My brothers and sisters, we can only cure evil by loving those who do it enough to care about what happens to them as a result of that, right? You can't cure drug addiction by hating drug addicts, much less by killing them. Right? You can't cure cancer by hating cancer patients. You cure anything by loving the one afflicted by it, enough to help him or her to get over that ailment. For that, you have to be willing to take some pain yourself. That is the meaning of brotherhood, and that is why we need forgiveness. Please understand this, that if I want to help somebody, if I like many, you know, we have seen this and we have seen it happening to us, and we have been, alhamdulillah, we have done it for others. If somebody is sick in the house, what do you do to them? You say you hate the person, kick him out? No. You are especially kind to that person. You are especially, you know, merciful to that person. You go and help that person. You feed them. You take them to the toilet if they can't go. You have to sometimes clean up after them. If something happens, you have to sometimes clean up after them. I mean, all of these things you do. Why do you do that? You do that because you love that person. So when you love that person, what happened to them as far because of the ailment and illness is not a reason for hating that person. On the contrary, it is a reason why you will love that person and you will show this love for that person. May Allah protect us from situations where we are in need from anybody. But at the same time, when we are in need, and all of us have been in need, take for example the mother who sits all night by the side of her child who is not well. Does she hate the child or does she love the child? She didn't ask for the sickness. She's not saying, oh, you know what, the reason I wanted motherhood is so that I could have a child who would fall sick and then I would take care of them. No. But these are things which happen in life. So similarly, if you see something bad in somebody, if you want that bad thing to go away, then you have to love the person who has it enough to treat them to cure that illness. Now, that cannot be done by yelling and screaming at them. It cannot be done by being nasty to them. You have to do that with love, with affection, with a lot of patience, with a lot of kindness. And you have to be willing to take some pain yourself, meaning that you have to suffer that. You have to suffer that that problem of theirs in order to get them out of that problem. It can't be done otherwise. Now, the issue is that you might say, well, you know, I can't make this into a life goal for myself, for everybody. No, don't do it for everybody. Well, some people you just walk away because, you know, I'm sorry, I don't care enough to try to cure this person. You know, I just remove myself from there so I don't have to suffer their nastiness. But that is not the case with everybody. So we have to be willing to put ourselves to some pain and trouble in order to help somebody else if we are genuinely interested in them. And remember, there would have been people in your life who took a lot of stuff from you which they didn't need to take because they loved you, because they cared for you, and because of the fact that they wanted you to become a better person. You did become a better person as a result of that. So this is also something that we owe in our lives. Life is a circle. We have to complete that circle. We cannot die with debt. So let us be clear in our minds. So we say we celebrate Ramadan al-Kareem because of shukr, because of charity, and because of this working in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us because of forgiveness. So these are the three bases on which we celebrate Eid al-Fitr. Remember the rule as far as of Zakat al-Fitr. I hope and I am sure you would have paid it. Rasulullah said, the one who has not paid it, then you know his salah will not be accepted if he doesn't pay Zakat al-Fitr. So find out what Zakat al-Fitr is in your country and please pay it before you come for Salatul Eid. Zakat al-Fitr can be paid a few days earlier as well. Need not be paid on the way to the Eidgah or something. Make sure you do that. Final point, very important. I don't know whether in your country the lockout has been lifted. If the lockout has not been lifted, then Eid Salah by Jama'ah in a masjid or in an Eidgah will not be possible. So don't insist on it. Pray in your house. Find out from the ulama what the hukum is with regard to Eid Salah and do it. But don't insist on congregating and so on and so forth if the lockout has not been lifted in your country. If the lockout has been lifted, alhamdulillah, do what you need to do. But if the lockout has not been lifted, do not violate the lockout. Violating the law is something which is definitely not permitted in Islam. So let's be very clear about that. Once again, I wish all of you Eid Mubarak, Eid Saeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Eid a means of deliverance for all of us.